Some of you may remember several years ago in 1987, 98, a man named Edgar Wisenet came out with a book titled 88 Reasons Why the Rapture is in 1988. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that kind of look, pamphlet book? Or might have heard about it? It was a big deal back then. He had done his mathematical calculations based on biblical prophecy and came up with a date in 1988. The rapture did not come in 1988, I have to hate to tell you. And so the book was popular at the time, and so Edgar redid his mathematical calculations and came up with a second book, 89 Reasons Why It'll Happen in 1989. And what happened in 1989? The rapture didn't happen. I think he did this also in 93, 94, 97, before he finally passed on in 2001. More recently, a well-known radio preacher predicted that Jesus would come back on May 22nd, 2011. And that came and went. He said, well, I was off by 5 months. So he predicted, it's going to happen in October 21st, 2011. Again, he was wrong. These kind of assertions can be kind of humorous at times, but if they hadn't deceived so many people at the times. I mean, there were reports of around those times of families who sold everything and gave all their money in their bank accounts to these ministries to kind of promote this and to kind of prepare themselves for the rapture, which did not take place. At the beginning of June, I preached a message about the different signs that the Bible says to look for the rapture, for the second coming of Jesus. The Bible seems to put these two, the rapture and the second coming, together. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive at that time is going to meet Jesus in the air to return to earth, where the Lord will defeat the Antichrist and at the battle of Armageddon and set up his kingdom. That's kind of what the Bible teaches us in Matthew and 1 Thessalonians, the two major passages that deal about the end times. And so I stated that those Christians who are alive during the end times probably will live through the tribulation. I list these different things to look for, and one of the things was that the tribulation would happen before the rapture, according to Matthew and Thessalonians. This may have come as a surprise to some of you because, like I said, many of the books and movies out there, and even some preachers are out there teaching that the rapture would take place before all the tribulation happens here on earth, a pre-trib rapture. They separate the rapture from the second coming, which I don't think the Bible text really is supported. But it's become very popular nowadays and so many things. And I can understand the desire that they have that, I don't want to live through the tribulation. I don't want to live through that time when persecution and hatred of Christianity comes to the forefront, especially in the book of Revelation. I can understand those who preach that because I don't want to go through those horrible things that the Antichrist will do in those final 3.5 years of the tribulation. I'm not sure if I want to live through it. But that's what the Bible says, that the Revelation talks about how the Antichrist will persecute and martyr Christians without mercy. He'll forbid the selling and buying of things except for those who have the mark of the beast on their forehead and on their hand. We'll be witnesses to the plagues that God will release on the earth to punish those who follow the beast and receive his mark. God's wrath will be poured out like bowls, it tells us in Revelation. But fortunately, the Bible clearly tells us that Christians will not experience God's wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 clearly states, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through Jesus Christ." You see, God's wrath is only for the ungodly and wicked, as it says in Romans 1:18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. But because of these verses, some people have thought, that's because the church is going to be not here. That we don't want to experience God's wrath because the church is going to be already raptured before all this tribulation happens at the end of time. The church will be removed. But that we will not experience God's wrath because we'll be not here on earth during that time. But I'm kind of reminded of what happened in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus with the children of Israel. And when they were slaves in Egypt and going through the 10 plagues there. It says specifically on several occasions starting in chapter 8, that God made a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites, and between the land they lived in and the rest of the land of Egypt. That it, only the plagues happened on the Egyptians, and the Israelites were exempt from the plagues and the wrath that God poured upon them at that time. So maybe this is how God's going to help the church in the end times live through the tribulation and not experience that wrath that God will pour upon the earth. But the important thing that the Bible stresses over and over again about those living in the end times and those who are going to live in the end times is that you need to be ready. And so my sermon this morning, there's a simple question. Are you ready? Now, when I think about being ready and think of some of the many verses that deal with the end time, like I dealt with in my first two sermons that were back at the beginning of June and end of May, there are commands like be ready or watch, wait, be alert type of thing. But I kind of grouped them all into the category of standing firm, to be standing firm, to know what you believe and why you believe it, and be standing firm on that. I see this first in James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. It says, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient it is for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Now, he talks a lot about patience in there and the whole crop thing. But I think he also wants us to stand firm. That's, he talks about that a lot there. He knows that suffering is coming, that we should be patient through that suffering. In James chapter 5, he talks about that. But it talks about standing firm, being kind of the summary of it, what it entails on these other things that we see about with these end times. And I gave you several verses back at the other service. I'm just going to go through them real quickly here about these kind of other things that kind of encapsulates this standing firm. It says in Mark 13 that we read several weeks ago, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that hour will become. Mark 13:35. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come, whether in the morning or in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. Matthew chapter 24, verses 44. So you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Remember several weeks ago when I said this word watching, to be aware, is not necessarily to look for certain signs or certain images, that's important, but that we should be spiritually aware, spiritually awake, that we need to be alert, be aware of our faith, not asleep in our faith, not spiritually lacking in our faith. Luke 21:36 brings this out the best, I think. It says, be on watch and pray that you will be able to escape all that is about to happen, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Again, that word escape doesn't mean to avoid or to be removed from this happening. It just means that we'll be brought through it without harm. We'll not be harmed by this. 1 Peter 1:13 again says, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's talking about Jesus coming back again. Prepare your minds for action. Self-controlled. Setting our hopes that we've been talking about. This idea of hope all through these series that we've been talking about. This hope that we have that Jesus is not only returning, but that we'll be with him at the end if we have these characteristics in our mind. And finally, 1 Peter 4:7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore be clear-minded, self-control, so that you can pray. Again, all these, I think, undercut this idea of being firm and standing firm in our faith. These are just a few of the verses that tell us how we can be ready for the end times and for the rapture. It's standing firm in our faith. It's praying. It's being filled with hope. It's watching, waiting, looking for the coming with self-control, being followers of Jesus. Simply put, it's just following God's commands that he's given to us through Jesus. We follow his example. We read and understand his commands in the Bible. We rely upon the Holy Spirit. We keep ourselves from sin. We confess our sins if we do find ourselves sinning. We are to stand firm. This also means that we don't compromise our faith by letting the world define what is and what is not sin. I mean, we find that a lot in our culture today. Well, this is yes, it's sin in the Bible, but now it's not sin anymore. No, that's not what it means, because we looked at this several weeks ago, that to do what God asks us to do in such a time as this, like with Esther that Pastor Joe gave to us, that we need to stand firm and not waver in our beliefs. I talked about last week about being good fathers and mothers as well, teaching and raising the next generation to love and trust God. It means searching the scriptures. It means looking for the wisdom and guidance that we find there. It means coming to church and fellowshipping with one another and inviting others to come. It means living out our faith for others to see so that they may see our good works and glorify God in heaven, as it says in 1 Peter. It's like we saw last year, spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, Hebrews 10:24, as well as all the other one another's we looked at last year as well. It's making the whole gospel of Jesus evident in your life. That's what standing firm means, living according to Jesus. And I'm afraid nowadays too many Christians are failing to do so. Their faith has become stagnant, their prayer life lackluster. Their Bible reading is fading. Their church attendance is sporadic. Their lives are slowly building up with unconfessed sin. Their love for God is growing cold. Kind of reminds me, starting next week, we're going to start a new series. We're going to look at the seven churches of Revelation. There's in the beginning part of Revelation, talks about seven churches that were given letters. And some of those letters and some of those characteristics of those churches we'll see are some of the same characteristics we see in our modern churches around us. And so Jesus, at the beginning of the book of Revelation, that's going to talk about all these end time events, wants these churches to wake up and to be aware and be knowing what it takes to confront them. He confronts them right off the bat to tell them how they need to change their behaviors in order to be prepared for the end times. I like also what Matthew reminds us of in chapter 24, verses 10 and 13. He says, at that time, in the end times, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, we've got to stand firm. We can't let our love grow cold. We can't let our faith slack for even a minute. That's how we'll turn and be ready when Jesus comes back. We need to be ready by standing firm. Can you count that as one of the characteristics you see in your life as we come toward the end times, that we stand firm? Is your faith and trust in the one true God? Are you following Jesus' example? Are you searching the scriptures and praying and growing in your faith? Are you standing firm with others around you and encouraging them and spurring them on, correcting them when you are wrong and receiving correction from them when you are wrong? Are you comforting those who are downhearted? Are you watching and waiting, or are you just sitting back and resting on your laurels? You see, you need a firm foundation to stand upon. You need to trust in Jesus, not in our good works to save us. Listening to the Spirit, obeying His commands, all these things. Kind of the entire Christian life. I could preach, the whole Bible is about how we should stand firm. But I'm just going to leave it right there. I hope that we are doing this. I hope we're watching and waiting in the anticipation with this firmness in our step. Because that's the first step in being ready for Jesus and for His return. And the second one kind of goes along the same lines, but it's a little bit different. It's, do not be deceived. I mean, if you remember back, again, this has been 2 or 3, 4 weeks ago now, all these passages in the Bible that we talk about in the end times, of all the deception that's going to go on. But all these people are going to come and deceive. Verses like Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. We just saw the verse there in Matthew 24, verses 10, that many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. They're right in the middle. We need to not be deceived about that. Matthew 24:24. Again, for false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. Talking about the Antichrist, Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 9 through 12, the coming of the lawless one, the ultimate Antichrist, will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion that they will be so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but who have delighted in wickedness. So not only believers, but God's going to send this delusion upon all the unbelievers. And this man of lawlessness comes to deceive. These things the Antichrist will do is to lie and deceive. He'll claim to be the Messiah. We are told that he'll even do miracles to kind of prove his identity, that he is this Christ. Now, this is one of the things I like about the Left Behind series of books, because they describe how this Antichrist deceives many, and he takes scriptures and twists it in just the right way. In fact, from what we read about in Revelation chapter 13, it seems like he might even rise from the dead, just like Jesus did in the Bible. Revelation 13 talks about a fatal wound that this beast has. Now, if a wound is fatal, you're dead, right? That's what fatal means, that you're died. But if you're healed from that fatal wound, if it's again, that's very interesting there. If you're healed from a fatal wound, you're brought back to life. So it's possible that this Antichrist will be brought back to life, and he'll claim, hey, I'm the Christ because I rose from the dead. And we know that Satan often likes to imitate God, right? He's been given this power to imitate God. He appears to us as like an angel of light many times, tries to imitate and masquerades as this angel, 2 Corinthians 11. And so I think this might convince many and might deceive many, even believers in Jesus, that this might be the Messiah. This might be the one we're looking for. Maybe the Bible's about Jesus is not really true. I think that he'll have twisted the scriptures in such a way that we might even think it sounds logical, even maybe biblical. But don't be deceived. Know your Bible. Be prepared to see this counterfeit. And there are many counterfeits out there, even today. We'll see in a minute here that 1 John talks about there's many antichrists in the world, deceiving many. But as I told you a few weeks ago, one of the signs of the end times is what Timothy calls the great apostasy. 1 Timothy 1, or 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, says, the Spirit clearly says that in the later times, some will abandon or apostatize the faith and will follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. What follows in that chapter 4 there, I would encourage you to read this next week, because it's again, it talks about all we need to do to stand firm and how to behave as Christians. I would encourage you to read that, because sound teaching and sound doctrine, and that we need to be ready. But in these last days, many will abandon their faith. Paul also tells us this in 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering of him, again, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering to him, that you will not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by spirit or a message or a letter as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord comes. I mean, even in Paul's day, people were being deceived. Oh, God's already come. 88 reasons why it happened in AD 88 when Paul wrote this. They were being deceived, thinking, oh, this is a letter from Paul. This is, and there might be times in the future where we'll get a letter from Paul found somewhere in a cave that'll point to the Antichrist as the Christ. I don't know. Don't know if that will take place or not, but that's kind of could take place type of thing. Could fulfill this prophecy maybe in Scripture. But he's saying here, let no one deceive you. He goes on, says, let no one in any way deceive you. For if it will not come, for it, the end time will not come unless the apostasy comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every other god and object of worship, so that he takes a seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as God. I mean, it's not going to take place until people fall away, until people are deceived. Now, one of the things that people wonder is, why in the end times are people going to be deceived? What's going to cause them to abandon their faith? What's going to cause them to lose their trust in God? And I can think of three things just off my head, and there might be more. But the first thing is the lies of the Antichrist, which we just talked about, that he'll be so convincing and so conniving and so charismatic that people will believe his lies. I think that'll be one reason why they'll turn from the faith in God and faith into faith of, in this Antichrist. I think second of all, the mark of the beast, which we kind of touched on already. Revelation talks about, it makes clear that believers in Jesus are not to take the mark of the beast upon themselves, even though it's something that they need to buy or sell. But I think some Christians will say, you know what, it won't be so bad just to take a little mark here just so I can buy things. I need things to survive. God wants me to survive. He wants me to eat. He wants me to sell my goods and things. And so I think that'll be the second reason why some might fall away, just because they compromise their faith in that way. But I think the third reason why is a belief in the pre-trib rapture. You know, think about it. If and this, like I said, all the books and movies and even some preachers say, hey, we're going to be raptured before the tribulation. What happens when a tribulation does come and we're still here? People are going to think, now that pastor down the street, I heard him preach on a pre-trib rapture. He so was firm on that. He knew that theology so well, but he was wrong. So what else can I believe about him? What else can I trust him to say that's the truth? If you've been told year after year that this is going to happen, that you're going to be raptured and not have to worry about the tribulation, that you're a believer, you're going to go to Christ, and you find yourself in the midst of this Antichrist fiasco that's coming up, that they'll fall away, that they're not prepared ahead of time to suffer the persecution that we'll see in the Antichrist, suffer that time that their faith will just crumble. And this is just one reason why I preach that the Bible teaches a post-trib rapture. That's not going to take place until after all these bad things on earth are going to happen. So I want people to be prepared ahead of time that their beliefs so firmly will be held that they'll have no reason when they're hated and killed and persecuted because of their faith, that they'll be able to stand firm. They'll think that the times are coming, and when we're asked, hey, are you a Christian? We'll be able to say yes, even though we know that might lead to our being persecuted or even shot on the spot. If we're not prepared for that, or we want to save our life, we might be very tempted to apostatize, to renounce our faith. Furthermore, if Christians find out that pastors and teachers were wrong about the rapture, they may question, like I said, the other sermons that the preacher has taught. They may say to themselves, well, this pastor was so wrong about the tribulation, he must be wrong about everything else. About maybe it's only going to happen for 7 years. Maybe it's going to go on forever. Or maybe Jesus has already taken us to heaven and I was left behind. And maybe even Jesus doesn't exist or heaven doesn't exist or all these other things that we teach in the church. So the very fact that pastors and teachers and all these books and movies say that the end time is going to happen with the rapture first might be the very reason why people apostatize. This is why, again, one reason why I think that the rapture will not take place until after all this tribulation and the Antichrist appears and it's being seated in the temple and all the abomination that causes desolation and all that we read about in Matthew. I mean, Matthew seems to have it right organized there that all these things must happen first before Jesus returns. And so I ask myself, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? What if I preach, like many do, that the tribulation is pre-trib, that we are raptured before the tribulation? Well, first of all, if I'm wrong and we are actually in the tribulation, then I would be discredited. People would probably lose their faith. People were not prepared for suffering if I preach that and I'm wrong. But what if I preach post-trib and I'm wrong? What if I say, the Bible says post-trib, which I think it does, and I'm wrong? And we're raptured any time now. What's going to happen? I'm going to be on my way to heaven. So, and hopefully the rest of you will be with me too. And I hope you won't say to me, Pastor, you preach post-trib, and we're being raptured right now. You're wrong, Pastor. You know, I'll say, yeah, so what? We're being raptured. It doesn't matter. I mean, we've been prepared to be raptured in 7 years from now, but what's the big deal if we're raptured and I was wrong? I mean, I'll stand before God and have to say, hey, I preached wrong, Lord. I confess that my teaching on this issue was wrong. But I'd rather be wrong in that way than be wrong in the pre-trib way and have people say, oh, Pastor, you preach pre-trib and you're wrong. And I have 7 years to explain myself how I was wrong. people won't believe me. So I hope that this preacher teaching will not be a downfall for the church. Plus, I would rather have a congregation prepared for persecution that they would face during those 7 years than have people go into this tribulation not prepared to have their faith tested in such a way. So this leads me to my last point. We need to stand firm. We need to not be deceived. But first of all, we need to be ready now. Now, people might say, well, Pastor, you're preaching that there's going to be at least 7 years before the tribulation happens, before the end of the tribulation, before the rapture happens. You know, I'll just wait for 6.5 years, and then I'll come to faith in Jesus. Because, you know, it's post-trib. We're not going to be raptured at any moment. I mean, you have to believe that we're going to be raptured at any moment in order to have that faith that we need to have be ready right now, right? And I'm saying, no. Just because I think and I preach, there's going to be at least 7 years. I don't think we're started the tribulation yet, so I think there's at least 7 years before the rapture will take place. But you know what? The Bible teaches us that God might call us home at any moment. Not as a rapture, as a whole church, as a whole body of believers, but we might die in the next very minute. Maybe one day, those that think, maybe one day on my deathbed I'll see the light, but no, we need to be ready now. We need to make that life-changing decision right now. We don't need to wait. We need to do that now. Because just as God said to the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. Remember him? He says, oh, I got all this good crops that I got, this bumper crops. I'm going to build barns. I'm going to tear down to my old ones, build these new barns for bigger ones, and live a life of luxury and leisure. What does God to say to this fool? He says, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? I mean, this man thought he had it all together. He was ready to just live in luxury and leisure, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, no, tonight, right now. Who knows whether you will or will not make it through the entire 7 years of the tribulation? Who knows whether you won't make it on the way home today? Life is fleeting. It can be over in a split second. Bob Smith did not know that he would breathe his last this last week, and yet we had his funeral on Friday, Saturday. But I know he had this hope in him. I believe he was ready when he did die. He wasn't waiting for the rapture. He might have thought the rapture might take place first, but he was ready to die. He's ready to be taken home to be with the Savior. So don't wait another minute. Be ready now. Don't say, oh, the rapture is so far away, because that's what Pastor Tim says. It is far away in my teaching according to what the Bible says. But what if God says, hey, today's your last day? Are you ready to meet your Maker? Because even though, like I said, I don't believe the rapture will take place at any moment, I don't need a teaching of a any moment rapture to encourage me to repent now, to confess my sins now, to make sure my life is always in line with God's. I need to prepare now, need to be ready now to meet Jesus. I need to make sure that I'm standing firm and not being deceived. I'm looking at the scriptures and I'm ready. I have my sins confessed. I have my life living in His way. So if you haven't made that decision, do so now. Accept Jesus in your heart. You know, put Him first. Ask for forgiveness. Follow Him in all your ways. But we not only need to be ready now spiritually in our heart, but as I kind of been hitting that all along here, we need to be ready right now for persecution to take place. We live in a great country here in America. And even though there might be some ideas about what is going on with our government, with all the different judgments of the Supreme Court and presidents and Congress that seem like we're being persecuted because we believe in Jesus Christ and staying up for life and things. The culture here in America is not really hostile toward Christians. It might be getting toward that direction, but this is just the tip of the iceberg. Persecution is coming. It's very alive and well in other parts of the world as well. But we need to steady ourselves for it here, even in America. There are Christians in other parts of the world that are already getting injured and killed for their faith. Their families are shunning them. Their houses are burned down. Their children taken away. They're fired from their jobs because they're willing to stand up and say, I'm a Christian, when everyone around them says, Christianity is bad. If we don't have this mindset in a place right now that we might face this kind of persecution, we won't be ready for it when it does come. You may be tempted to take the easy way out and deny Christ. Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you? No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. They killed Jesus because of his faith in God. And there will come a time. There will come a time. Whether we are still alive at that time or not, I don't know. When we might have to stand up for our faith. Where we might be persecuted in many ways, different kind of ways, for our faith in Jesus. We may even have to decide whether to deny Jesus or to be killed. And today is the day. Now is the time to start thinking in that light. To start thinking, this is coming. They did it to Jesus. And we're, like I said, so thankful right now we live in a country where we have religious freedom. But who knows how long that might be. I wish the rapture would take place before that and that we wouldn't have to face this kind of persecution. I don't like the idea of facing persecution. But we need to steady ourselves, be ready to follow Jesus no matter what it takes, even if it means laying down our life for our Savior. We need to be ready for it. So are you ready? Are you standing firm in your spiritual life? Are you praying, reading the Bible, building the foundation of memorizing scriptures and growing in your Christian walk? I hope so. I hope you're living and growing closer and closer to Jesus. So that way we're ready when deception comes, that we won't be deceived, that we'll be not easily swayed by teachings that don't line up like the Bible. You see, if you don't know the Bible well enough, Satan might twist it and might change it and might make it seem likely and suit his lies. Already there are deceivers among us. John says there are already antichrists in the world, even back in 1 John 2:18 and following. And we're not to be swayed by every wind and doctrine and everything that kind of tickles our fancy. I mean, that's what 1 Timothy says later on in chapter 4, that people will want to surround themselves with people who tickle their ears and make what they want to hear. So don't be easily deceived. And be ready now. Don't wait for the rapture. Don't wait for any moment further than this. Just because the rapture is at least 7 years from now, according to what I believe the Bible teaches, that doesn't mean and guarantee that we'll last for those 7 years. You see, your time is running out, and no one knows the time of their own death. So you have to make that choice now. And when we make that choice, we can live every day from then for Jesus and for the Lord.